The only people that are converting to Catholicism are people who saw Fleabag and didn't know that that is not what's happening.
Didn't know.
I'm Anne McNamee-Keels.
And I'm Stephanie Chavera.
And this is Lapsed,
a podcast about growing up Catholic. And today we are very excited to welcome comedian Nico Carney.
Yay. So Nico Carney is a stand-up comedian, writer, and actor. He was selected for Netflix's A Joke's inaugural introducing showcase in 2022, was named a Just for Laughs new face of 2023, and made his late night television debut on Late Night with Seth Meyers in January 2024, which is very cool.
It was very good.
Nico also has a podcast called Boys Club, which he co-hosts with fellow comedian Connor Janda. Welcome, Nico.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
We're very excited to have you here. I follow a lot of comedy on Instagram, as many of us do in these like post-pandemic days, it seems. And I already liked your stuff. And then when you mentioned being raised Catholic, and I was like, now I need to know more. Just like often how it goes.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I like am always wanting to talk more about in stand-up, because as you both know, having this podcast, it's just such a well of all kinds of emotions and everything. So I've been wanting to like bring it in more to my stand-up. It's like also one of those things that like a lot of Catholic comedians like have material about, so it's like kind of like airplane jokes where everybody's got one, where it's like, okay, I got to find my way in for this. So, I'm glad it resonated with you and that we got connected, because I love talking about being raised Catholic.
Great. So do we, clearly. So we usually have people start. It is a podcast about growing up Catholic. So we usually have people start with their childhood, just like what the religious or spiritual landscape of your childhood looked like and how Catholicism was involved or not.
Yeah, so both my parents were raised Catholic. My dad's side definitely like a lot more, like my grandparents on that side go to mass every day, still like very, very Catholic. My mom's side, more culturally Catholic, you know, like we would identify that way, but they're not, you know, kind of Easter and Christmas Catholics. And then, you know, I'm the oldest of four. I felt like I got the most Catholic like upbringing in terms of having to go to Sunday school. Like I remember doing like, I think it was the, cause I didn't go to Catholic school. I went to like non-religious affiliated schools.
Did you go to CCD?
I did. Yeah. So I did do CCD like every Sunday, like clockwork.
Steph is team CCD. I went to Catholic school. She went to CCD. So it's like a weird rivalry.
Yeah.
Not really, but kind of.
My friend Connor, who I do the podcast with, he's also Catholic. So we talk about this sometimes. And he went to he went to an all boys Catholic school. And then I did, you know, CCD on Sundays. And he was like, well, at least I got my Sundays back.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
That is true. I mean, I had to go to mass as a kid, but yeah. But then I had like religion all week.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like every day you have a religion class. I don't know.
That's tough. That's pretty tough. I always found the CCD classes kind of weird, because it was like other kids from other schools that you like only know through church. And I didn't have like a super tight CCD group. I had like one friend, and then just like, it was just like a really random group of, especially as you get to like middle school and you're getting ready to get confirmation. It's like, well, now we're all in eighth grade and everybody's weird. And so this is just awkward. And like, I don't really like being here anymore. Like, thank God we're done after this year. But I definitely like, yeah, I was, you know, going to mass a bunch as a kid, you know, every Sunday as a kid, and I was going to CCD. And I remember like right before first communion, the big year where you get your first, reconciliation and communion in the same year, third grade, whatever that is.
Yeah.
We had to do like an additional, like we had the Sunday CCD class, but then we had an additional like Thursday morning before school. We would have to go do like, I think like leading up kind of almost like a dress rehearsal for the actual like procession of getting the first communion and like making sure we didn't. But in my memory, it was like weeks. It was probably like three times, but it was like every Thursday forever. We were just, it's like at the end of it, they would give us a small Dixie cup of orange juice and one powdered donut hole as our like little reward, as almost like our it was like our fake Eucharist, I think.
Right. Like they'll never know what to do if we don't, you know, that cup, if we don't practice.
Try to practice.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was like our weird little like children's hors d'oeuvres fake Eucharist thing that we had going on.
Before school. That's a lot to ask.
Right?
I feel like.
Yeah. It was like, and then they would bus us over to our like public school. And I was like, this feels, I don't know. The whole thing, what I was not happy about having to get up extra early.
No. I wonder if our, see, I have a memory and I talked about it forever ago when we talked about communion. I do have a memory of like practicing and my Catholic school practicing for our communion. And they brought the CCD kids in and like incorporated them into us. So there were probably like seven of them. And then there was like three classrooms of Catholic school kids. They must have been so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, it just, sure. But I walked down the aisle with another little girl who was a CCD girl. And I thought she wasn't walking correctly and like told on her.
I think I had an elitist.
I think I had so much anxiety around doing it right that I was like projecting it out of this poor child who was just trying to go about her life. I was probably really nervous. Sorry, Anna. That was her name.
I agree. It was like being on the CCD side, and Steph, I'm sure you felt this too. Like when we did have to combine, like for those bigger days where they're like, okay, now we have all the Catholic schools like kids here too. It was like,
yeah,
they have such like superiority because they go there all the time. The priests know them better. Like the whole thing, you just like, oh, now we're just like, this is, we're not even really friends, but now we're banding together because we don't have anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all survival.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember your confirmation name for when you were confirmed?
I like kind. So I don't really remember having a different, like a saint's name. I don't know why I didn't have like a saint's name in the middle, but I didn't. So it's just my name at the time.
It's just your name.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the time. Yeah. We've had other people say the same thing.
Yeah.
We've had a handful of people say they didn't, that like wasn't, that must be like optional by parish or something. Cause I feel like some people it was like, oh yeah, I definitely was expected to pick a new name. And then some people were like, no, I could just use my name already that I already had.
Yeah, I'm not sure because I didn't have to pick one. But I also thought like a lot of other Catholics I've met, it was the same way where they did have to pick one or like felt like that was the standard. So I don't know why there's a discrepancy there. But
yeah, it felt like for me, being at that point was like, I'm getting confirmed, but like, I'm super like entering my questioning phase of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was my way to be like rebellious. I was like, I'm going to pick a saint that used to run a brothel. Like,
and you can find those because they exist.
Yeah. I love that. There's a saint for everything.
It's really true.
Insane. So you went all the way through. You got confirmed.
Yep, I got confirmed. And then, yeah, but I had like a similar thing. Now that you say that, that really like rings true to me too. That like, I feel like around eighth grade was when I was sort of starting to be like a bit more of an independent thinker for myself and just wasn't as convinced. And I kind of feel like the whole time through, I was like, this is, I mean, they don't do a good job of making it entertaining. So I'm like, this is boring. Like, I don't want to, you know, I'm already not sold on this as something I want to do on a Sunday. So like, we're starting from a bad spot. And then by the time you're in like middle school, you know, late middle school, getting to high school, and you're starting to like, I don't know, just be a little bit more exposed to more of the world. I felt like I was similarly, and maybe that's why I didn't pick a confirmation name, because I was like, I'm not even really going to stick this out. But I don't really remember I feel like by the time I was in high school, I wasn't having to go to mass as often as like when I was a young kid. My parents definitely, I think, eased up on it over the years.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is where a lot of people start butting heads with their family, especially the oldest, you know, where it's like, I mean, I know that was the case for me, where it's like, no, you are going to continue to do this. Like, I don't care if you are miserable for an hour. This is what we're doing.
Yeah. And like, because you're the example for your siblings, you have to like, they're like, well, they have to still get confirmed. There's three more where you came from. So like, you can't just like quit on this and this and like, you know, ruin their brains with your treachery. Yeah.
Is anyone in your family or your siblings still practicing at all? Or did everyone fade away?
Kind of. So my dad still practices like somewhat, definitely not as much, I think, as he used to, but he still has like certainly a relationship with it because it was such a big part of his upbringing. And, my sister is, I think she found like a really good like Catholic parishioner at her college that like was just like a nice like young priest who like connected well with college students, and so she felt, I think that helped her get through some stuff like when she was in school. So it's definitely been like a cool part of her life, which I think is cool. Like I appreciate that we were all able to grow up in the same house and have like a range of kind of interaction with it and get to like keep it in our lives as much as we want to and let it go. But also, so I was born in Syracuse, New York, but I was mostly raised in Savannah, Georgia. So when we moved down south, it was also like there's a decent amount of Catholics down there, but it's like, it is like mostly like Methodist, Baptist, right. Like non-denominational. So like those mega churches with like the fun music and like the young pastor who has
can't
like,
compete.
Yeah, it's hard. And so like a couple, my siblings also like had that, like a thing too, where they were like, oh, maybe I'll like try this version of Christianity instead. Again, like it's not like, it's like 3-4 time bummer music sung by a choir. It's like, it's a rock band, like, you know, so totally different experience. I actually don't know if she still goes to like a Catholic church or if she just goes to, cause she lives in the city in New York as well. So I think she's goes to like a kind of more like maybe some sort of new age thing, but yeah, we kind of all have a different relationship to it now.
It's funny you say that because, so yeah, I grew up in Chicago where like at tons of Catholics,
yeah,
and I still live in the area. My family, we belong to a Methodist church now, though belong is a strong word and I haven't been there in a really long time. And my kids aren't interested, and I
you
think
you might have to do like lapsed too, lapsing.
I think that's where we're headed, if I'm honest with you. But I always thought the like rock bandy stuff was so weird. Like yeah. When I learned that was a thing, you know, the new. But I have to say, so I do live storytelling, so does Steph actually, and I was invited, and I just did over the weekend in Chicago to tell a story at a queer bar church.
Cool.
And like they were like all rise for the opening song, and it was Since You've Been Gone, and I was like, I don't hate this at all. And I was just thinking, like, there's like a guy on a keyboard like rocking out, and I was like, I didn't know I would love this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was cool. It's called Gilead Chicago. If any of our Chicago listeners want to check it out, but also I was like, I do get why those like coffee house church types like the sort of exciting music. Just that part was fun.
Yeah.
But we were just singing like Cher and Beyonce. So I don't know. That can't not be fun, I think.
Right.
Anyway.
That's cool.
Definitely a different take.
Yeah.
It's a different thing.
I was always skeptical of the like new age churches too, because I was like, what do you mean it's not even a little bit boring or terrible? Like this feels like
right?
It's gross. I was taught it was supposed to be a struggle and it was supposed to be difficult and that
you can't get into heaven having fun.
Exactly. You have to hate the whole
thing. It's
not
how this works. yeah. Do you feel like Catholicism has influenced you as a person? Like, do you feel like there are parts of your personality that maybe are rooted in that, or do you feel like you're pretty far removed from it now?
I definitely do. And it's something that I've like come to realize more and more, like every year, I feel like I am like uncovering that I'm like, oh, like this really did have an impact on me. Because I think similarly to like what y'all have said, like, I don't know, feeling like at like, you know, maybe 14 or so, I was like, I don't like already being like a kid and not and being like, I don't know if I really believe in all this or if this is for me or if this, like, I obviously don't really align with a lot of the church's values as like an institution, but certainly some like, you know, more negative stuff. Like I certainly like the guilt and the shame is like something that I can't, and like that feeling of like, you know, like work first and then pleasure, like that kind of thing is like definitely really, really instilled in me. And that's something I've been trying to like unlearn for myself, because I think that's something that like my parents, my grandparents, like have also kind of passed down as like the, not only just like an ideology of like Catholicism, but like an ideology of like the way that we as a family like started to see ourselves and stuff, which obviously I think was influenced heavily by Catholicism. So certainly that kind of stuff, I definitely still like really try to, I don't know, fight within myself and find ways to reframe that kind of thinking, because I don't really think it's super healthy. but then on like on the positive side, I do think that like, I think that like Catholicism does have, you know, like a really good, I think, relationship to like acts of service and, you know, like and like works for the sake of like helping others and not as much for like, I don't know, that was another thing that like growing up in the South and like these like kind of big churches were always going on these like mission trips to do nothing for anybody but take pictures of themselves in like, you know, wherever they were. just like places that they had no business like spending money going to, and they could have donated to a local charity, yada yada. And I always felt like the Catholic Church did. I mean, obviously they have other ways of exploiting and doing terrible things, but it felt like Catholic ideology had like, I don't know, was a little bit more about like, I don't know, just helping for the sake of helping, and like being like, we're gonna work at the local homeless shelter, not like go across the world to spend more money than we actually do good. Mm-hmm. So I did always appreciate that, and felt like that was like something that was instilled in me as like the way to, you know, help people, was like to do as much as you could and not like, I don't know, make it all for show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with both of those.
Yeah.
I think the guilt stuff is very real.
Yeah.
But I really do appreciate the service piece. And I think that dichotomy, like Steph, I think you and I, that's like constantly what we're wrestling with.
Yeah.
With the Catholic Church. Like, oh, but they do this. Oh, but look.
Yeah.
Sort of like.
It's such a huge church. You can kind of find everything in it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like all of these good, all of this bad, like it's got it all.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the longest, I mean, next to like Islam and Judaism, it's like, you know, one of the longest standing, you know, cultural institutions that we have in the world. So it obviously like there's just so much. It's not, you know, there's so much good, bad and baked in there. And it's really hard to, you know, find ways to connect with something without like feeling obligated to be in conversation with these horrible things, or, you know, feeling again, that guilt that they've made us feel, now we're feeling it on their behalf. And it's like, what's happening? Like this, why don't you guys ever feel guilty about this?
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I know, it's like one of the reasons I'm have an issue with like the mega churches too. I'm like, none of like, this is so new. There's no way, like, not the history. I'm like, it just can't work. It just feels like I have like a hard time with like Mormonism, because I'm just like, that's real new.
I prefer my religion old and complicated.
Like, you have to be around at least somewhere near when the guy was around. I need a little legitimacy. Totally.
Also the aesthetics. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%, though. I do love the aesthetics. I feel like it's like coming back in a big way. There's a lot of like religious Catholic,
it's like everywhere.
Right? Yeah.
It's kind of a vibe right now. Like it's trending.
Yeah.
People are.
I know you're into the Kardashians, and they seem to be very Catholic. Yes.
I was going to say Kourtney Kardashian's wedding was like full on Catholic. And I don't think they're Catholic, but full on like Catholic Italian vibe.
Yeah. And I think that there was also this movement in like weird little sections of New York that was like these young, like Dime Square is what it's called. It's like these young, like Gen Z.
We talked about that.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And they're like getting into Catholicism. I have to find the article that was like, cause I haven't seen like a lot about it, cause I think it's like a really micro trend that they were sort of covering, but it was like, I think it was the New York Times. If I find it, I'll send it to y'all, but it was interesting. But what I was going to say on the topic of the mega churches, I always also found that like, cause that like whoever was like the pastor was just like, it was like, so you didn't go to any training. The community just decided you have the best,
you were the one,
you know, way to like vocalize this, and that everybody should be paying for you to like have a salary and this church. And it's like, at least like the Catholic Church like funds like the paying the priests and everything. And like he lives behind the church in the smallest house ever. Like he's not like going home in his like Escalade with his family to like be at brunch. I'm like, I don't think you can have both. Like just like commit or don't. I don't know.
You don't get to be a person. Yeah.
Which is maybe probably, I think there's probably a middle ground. I think we've learned there's got to be somewhere in the middle.
Probably.
Yeah.
Might help them with some of the worldview.
Yeah. Have either of y'all ever seen The Righteous Gemstones on HBO?
No, I've been wanting to watch that.
Definitely watch it.
I think we watched the first season.
Because John Goodman, right?
Yeah. And it's kind of about this exact thing. It's like a mega church. It's a corrupt mega church family in South Carolina. And it's funny and it's super like thrilling, and it's really good. And I love the characters that are all really great. But it like, if you're, I feel like you would love it because it's kind of playing on these exact things.
My husband is from South Carolina.
Oh, cool.
So I think that's why he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Didn't grow up in a mega church, but did grow up in a South Carolina church, and also kind of knows the type.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know what I did to my algorithm, but I got a song from the show on my like Spotify Discover Weekly, and it just like, I didn't see what it was, and I was just like, what is happening? What is this song? It was amazing.
That's
I was like,
so funny.
Righteous Gemstones. Well, and so I might cut this, but Nico, so Maggie Winters is on that show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And who's a friend of yours?
Yeah.
So she went to my high school.
Oh, cool.
I was very excited that she did that. And I'm fully cutting all of this. My high school recently, I went to an all-girls Catholic high school, and they recently had their like parent booster club or whatever. Recently, they were like on Facebook. I saw they had like a night of comedy, and it was all dudes. It was all cis white straight dude comics, which is like
for the all girls Catholic school.
For an all girls Catholic school. Ooh. And also I was like, why didn't, maybe they did try to get Maggie. But I was like, also, why wouldn't you get an alum or whatever? Like someone who grew up. I was irritated on her behalf.
Or at least a woman, at the very least.
Yes. At the bottom. Yeah.
I guess the Catholic Church is continuing with men only in speaking roles.
Right? Oh, I know. I have to finish watching that show because it's very funny.
It's good.
So you're not practicing anymore, and it sounds like you're out of, like, you're doing your own thing, whatever your faith is. Are you like affiliated with any churches at this point, or?
No, I mean, I think I would, like, if somebody asked me if I, you know, I will volunteer that I was like raised Catholic. Like I definitely, cause I feel like that's such a big, and I also think, I'm sure y'all feel this too. I mean, we're on this podcast because of this very thing where you meet somebody else and it's like, oh my God, you too. Like you survived. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, so I feel like that is like something that I will, you know, bring up as a point of like conversation if it is relevant. But in terms of my actual like life, I'm, you know, I think it's really, as I'm getting older and just becoming an adult and I don't know, living in this crazy world that we are, that it feels like it's getting crazier and crazier every day. I think there's like, I'm feeling more drawn to some, you know, version of like spirituality and meditation and like giving up to the fact that there is something bigger than all of us and that there are forces at play, whether that's energy and physics or an almighty God, doesn't really matter to me. So like, I just am trying to like find ways in my daily life to ground myself in that humility that I do think is like a strong part of the Catholic faith, but without the shame, being able to have humility and also self-confidence, you know, like that kind of balance is good.
So yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at in terms of my day-to-day like spirituality.
It's funny. I think the guests we have that are like the most attached to the Catholic faith are the people who chose it like as adults.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is really interesting because I'm like, why would you do this to yourself as an adult? Like, if you weren't raised in it, I don't understand why you would do this.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I didn't even know that they were doing that well recruiting. Everything I see that they're like, we're running out of young people.
We have nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had one guest on from Argentina. She's the first person we know of that got officially excommunicated. She like left it official. She got like a diploma or whatever, like a certificate saying she's like no longer, because it like
Catholic yourself,
she's un-Catholic.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But it like took a while. I was like, that's a commitment to be like, I so want to be out of this that I need it to be like official.
That's interesting,
right?
Because I wonder, I don't even know if there's documentation of my baptism or confirmation. Like, are there documents for that?
Probably is.
The church is, I mean, they like invented writing, so
true. In an old filing cabinet.
They claim all of us
on like old carbon copy, no matter how old it was.
Nothing is like no way
from last year.
Yeah, there's some intern that's like, guys, we're moving it all over to iPad starting next week. So
can you imagine? The Pope would lose. I can't imagine that.
I know. That's like Stephanie and I were like, wait, do Catholic churches use QR codes? And just the thought of a QR codes existing in the Catholic Church, I don't want to know if they're there. They probably are. I don't want to think about it.
There's something
it's like
that
two
would
worlds.
Be dark about like if there was a QR code on the, like instead of the hymnal, is like a QR code that you could like scan and then see it on your phone. There's something dark though about like looking at the phone in church.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to get punished for that.
Yeah.
Well, I did see that some, so I'm on like, I don't know, I'm on all the if Catholic things happen, I get alerts because I do this.
Yeah.
There is something, and Steph will need to dive into this for our next Catholicism in the News. There was some like far right, it might have been CatholicAnswers.org, one of the kind of particularly right-wing Catholic websites, created an AI priest, which first of all, people were like, hold up, so women can't be priests.
But computers can.
But then it was like, it like went rogue. It was answering weird questions. And it also like, it also did confession for someone like through,
like, oh my God.
Through the AI, like chatting with it. And it like absolved them of his sins. And then I think they were like, we need to shut this thing down. It's getting too powerful.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It could just absolve anybody from anything.
And then it's like,
it was wild.
What, like, an AI priest would like undermine all of the authority of the Catholic Church to like anoint priests and that process and every, like, that. That's so, that's like when those far right people, obviously, we know that they have messed up. Something's going on in the brain that is not quite connecting to what I would deem to be the world that we live in. But it's like when they do things like that, they're like, you're not even doing what you think you're doing right. You're like, even, this is against, I would think you wouldn't even, I don't know. They do stuff like that where I'm like, this is even too weird for me to even understand. How am I supposed to reason with this?
Yeah. It's like you're against your own logic. Like you're going against your own. Yeah.
That's wild.
AI priest, it happened.
But I'm similar to you in that, like, I'm currently in a phase of being super angry at the church. Like, I go through these, sometimes I'm like, there's good. Da-da-da. Like, the
our last two episodes was a roller coaster for Steph, really.
Yeah.
They came out with this document. I don't know if you heard about it, but it's like who they decide and does not have dignity and how you can lose dignity. And it doesn't take much of a guess to figure out where they went with that one.
Yeah, I'm glad that that's what they're spending their time on.
Exactly.
Right? Given there's nothing going on in the world right now that they need to concern themselves with.
About nothing.
But then, like, at the same time, so I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm done. But then I lose my keys. And I'm like, I have nothing.
Totally. Like,
gotta call on St. Anthony.
I don't know. Like, I've got to pull out the old magic tricks, yeah. I guess. I don't know. So do you ever find yourself like still being like, I still do this Catholic thing? Or is that like, have you weeded yourself out? Are you like cleansed?
Well, I mean, I do feel like there have been times in my life where like I'm at like a low point or something and I, in a similar, you know, like, I don't know, just like there's, what else am I to do where I've thought about like praying or even just like the act of like getting on my knees in like prayer to sort of like physically humble myself to whatever is going on. So I've had that instinct before. And, you know, there have been times with like, you know, like a sick relative or something where you're like, well, I literally don't know what else to turn to in this situation. Cause like, what are we to do? And I feel like that's the time where it like comes back. And so that I'm appreciative of, cause I think I have friends now who like were not raised with any religion and they have said like, oh, I wish I believed in something because like when those types of things, I just like only have my logic and reasoning and hope, but it's like, there's no like sort of safety net that even if you don't fully believe in is like kind of there. So I do appreciate that. But mostly I would say like the ways that I'm still tied to it, unfortunately, are like the guilt and the shame, unfortunately. But also like, you know, the aesthetics and stuff.
Yeah.
That's cool. But not too many like practices in my day to day. But, you know, certainly like you have said too, like it, when all else is lost, I guess, you know, you still have that in your back pocket.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the last time I prayed, I don't think I've admitted this, Steph, was the night Trump was elected. I think as like the votes were rolling in, I was like, what the hell am I doing right now? But I was like such a mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like after I'd put my son to bed, I was like, well, I think like my husband was watching, like we had gone to like a yay lady president party that like, you know, the vibes got real bad real fast, and then we were like, well, I guess we're all gonna go home and put our kids to bed and cry and panic. And then my husband was watching the TV and I was like, I can't do this. And then I was just like in a room by myself and I was like, what am I doing? I was like, that's the last time I think it was like legit Catholic prayers.
Yeah,
like, that's, which is when we do that, right? Like when we just feel like we've got no control and like were in free fall.
Yeah.
They didn't work. Clearly, this didn't work.
They call it the Hail Mary throw for something.
True.
For a reason.
That's another thing that's so, like, it's funny. Like, I was with my friend Connor, who's also was raised Catholic, and we were with another friend who wasn't, and we were just somehow got talking about, like, the prayers, and we were able to obviously just, like, recite them, you know, like, no problem. Like, I don't think I'll ever forget them. And my friend was like, oh my God, like, that was just crazy. Where did that come from? Like, so it's kind of gibberish almost. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know what it means as a kid. Yeah. No one is like, let's analyze this.
Right, right. Yeah, and then you're two, and then you're like, huh, okay.
Yeah, I know. You're like, what am I actually saying?
Yeah.
Just using the word, just like throwing out the word virgin fast and loose as a 6-year-old. Exactly. Just like it's normal.
Oh. So have you been to a church since they've changed?
Oh, yeah. Because
maybe I was, you're young. Okay.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, you're younger than us.
I was maybe in like middle or high school when they changed that. I was still actively like.
Okay,
was,
you were young.
It was before I was getting confirmed. So I was like, I was in the thick of it when they changed it. But I remember even as a kid being like, this is, what are we, why? Like, again, with like the dignity.
We don't do changes.
It's like, why are we changing it? Like, this is not what we need to change.
We haven't changed anything in 2,000 years. Now you're going to change this.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. And how we say, like, and also, like, that's what we're worried about. And, like, how many committees did that go through? Yeah. You know, like.
How much money was spent on, like, luncheons for the parishes to figure that out? Like, it's just so ridiculous. Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. And it kind of takes away, like, I think those of us who don't go to church, like, the one thing that is a little bit, especially if, like, we had an episode about funerals recently. Like, when you're at a funeral, I feel like there's something, you're, like, finding comfort in that. In like the familiarity, mm-hmm, you know, where you're like, oh, this feels and smells and sounds like my childhood. And there's something comforting.
Yeah.
Again, when you're in one of those moments where you're like, I have no control. And then they're like, and with your spirit. And you're like, what the hell? Like, really? You can't even have that.
And you're loudly saying the old one.
And you're looking around like everyone who saw me. Yeah.
Yeah. Fully. You can tell who hasn't been to church in a really
totally,
long time.
Totally. Yeah. That's such a classic. I remember when that happened, being even as a kid, being like, why? Like, we just learned these. Like, why are you changing them now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being in it.
Yeah.
When it happened.
Like, yeah.
It must have been a big deal.
It definitely, like, I remember it. So, like, it did. But it has always felt like so unnatural to say too, where I was just like, what's your spirit? What? Why?
Do you remember, when's the last time you've been to a Catholic Mass? Have you had to go for any reasons?
Maybe a couple of years ago for Easter or Christmas with my family. Like, the last couple of years, my family, like, has kind of gotten to a point where, like, my dad, my sister, and my brother will go because they still practice and want to. And then my sister, my mom, and I will just, like, do all other things and stay at home. Nice. Which I appreciate that we can, like, you know, those who want to go can go, and those who don't have to go, which is nice, because for a while it was feeling very much dragged. Like, we were like on vacation in the Caribbean somewhere and like seeking out a Catholic church because we were there over Christmas break and we were like going to be there on Christmas. And I was like, do we have to? Like, what if we just said a couple Hail Marys in the hotel?
We'll be fine.
Yeah. And like had a nice meal as a family. Like, I think that's also valuable on Christmas.
Yeah,
it does feel like it might be worth something more, than just sitting next to each other somewhere.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to see like a Catholic Mass in another country, though. That was like the only cool thing, because it was like I mean, obviously the again, like you all were saying, like the familiarity of it is like a nice like connector. Like, there was obviously the pieces of the Mass are the same, but like the kind of little, I don't know, influence that their like cultural aspects have on it was like it was cool to see that there was like other, because it was a little bit more uplifting and fun than like, because it's sunny there and like their music's a little bit more fun. It wasn't so doom and gloom of like American Catholicism. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds great. Actually, now that you put it that way, I think I actually might want to check that out. Were there any like big differences or other? It just felt happier, less bogged down by shame.
It was outside, so that was a fun start.
Oh,
outside.
You're selling me on this, honestly. Now I'm like, when I'm in the Caribbean, I'm gonna go to Mass.
It was outside. It was, the music was more, I remember the music more of like a Caribbean like flair to it. Like, the instruments they were using were not just like the, I think also maybe because it was outside, it wasn't like the big organ and piano and stuff. And then, like, the priest just was from the area, so had, like, a little bit more of a, I think his, like, spirit just felt, like, a little bit more light and fun and just, I don't know. He just had, like, a different kind of energy that he was bringing to it than, like, the oldest man you've ever seen from upstate New York giving the most boring homily you've ever heard.
Yeah. Were there other tourists there? Was it mostly, like, locals? Do you remember?
It was kind of, yeah. Mixed bag. It was a mixed bag because it was kind of a touristy area for, and like, I think, you know, holiday break. Christmas, so there was kind of a mixed bag, which was also funny to see all the other like tourists that were there. But that maybe is the last like mass I went to. Possibly another one at home.
That's a pretty good way to go out.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Even the best one will not get me.
That's right.
They tried.
They tried. They did everything they could.
Tropical mass.
Yeah.
Do you remember if you received communion? Do you have feelings about that, or is that like a point of conflict for you at all, or do you just do it? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like, so like when I was in like college to like right after college was, I think, when I was like most trying to really be like, I am an independent adult. Like, you guys cannot still make me come to this, because I have younger siblings and my parents were still a little bit like, you know, we're all going. And like, it wasn't until more recently that we all kind of had that understanding and feeling on it. So like, I feel like I felt there was times where I was feeling defiant and was like, I'm not going up there. Like, I'm not, I'm just here to be here with you guys. I'm not here to participate in the mass. And like, I'm not going up there. But then that's like, felt like very like, well, now I'm the only one sitting in the pew and I have to sit by myself.
Yeah, right. And like, everyone's walking over you and you have to like be out of the way.
What did you do not to get to go up?
Exactly. Right. And it's like everybody, our hometown church, not that they all would know, like, just, but like, because it's other families that we know, it's like, they're kind of be like, why is he not going up? Like, that's weird. Like, confirmed together. Yeah. Like, and I think other times, purely out of like the, just like being like, whatever, I'll just go up to like, you know, eat this gross piece of bread and have a dry mouth.
It's really not good.
Like, weird taste in my mouth for the next 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Were y'all ever your family's like, were you like leaving after the Eucharist or staying till the end?
I don't think we ever did, except there was one priest who I think maybe was partaking in the communion wine before mass, possibly.
That's great.
His mass, and also just really liked to hear himself talk. And his masses went on so long. I feel like maybe once my mom was like, let's just peace out, because like, we had somewhere to be and it was going an absurdly long time. But for the most part, that was off limits for us.
Same.
Yeah. I remember, I think it's the rule, but like when the thing that they carry, I don't even know the word, the cross, I guess when they carry the cross that they carry out.
Yeah.
I'm not a very good lapsed Catholic. It had to pass the last pew.
Right.
That's
when that thing passed, and then we're like, go!
Yeah.
go, get to the car.
Exactly.
My dad would be like, get your coat on, and go!
That was my understanding too, that it was like, that was the rule. And then, but there would always be people that would like dip after they got their Eucharist and skip the last 10 or whatever. But my family, and I always wanted to, but my family was like, we're not leaving.
My husband has a friend, and like the first thing he told me about them was their family showed up late for all the mass. He was raised Catholic too. He's like, their family was the one that showed up late all the time. And I was like, okay. And he's like, no, they showed up right before communion. And I go,
oh my God.
Why even go?
That's really cheating.
He's like, they'd get in and then they would sometimes leave right after. They just came in for the communion part.
Wow.
Just checking a box.
I was like, they must have been the talk of the whole church.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They couldn't get there earlier. It's like, that's wild. I wish. No. No.
We had to go in the, because I had younger siblings, we had to go in the cry box sometimes, like in the back.
Oh yeah.
You know, like the soundproof like cry room, which was also it was kind of fun because that was anybody's like, you can do whatever you want. Like, it's like, there are no rules in the cry box. That's why we're back here. And like, you know, like, you're definitely not gonna be making the most noise. So there felt like there was less pressure to like be putting on, you know, sitting up straight and whatever. Like, and so I did kind of appreciate when we were back there. But then my dad would sometimes try to like be like, we still have to have some decorum while we're back here. And it's like, we're in the cry box. Like,
anything goes.
Yeah.
See, I remember We call it the cry room. It is really funny that there's like
a cry box.
My house should have a cry room, frankly, and I'm just realizing maybe I should.
There you go.
We're doing renovations right now. We need a cry room for all of us, for my five-year-old, for me sometimes. But so the church that we went to when I was older, the cry room was all the way in the back. Mm-hmm. But I remember that the church I went to when I was really young and we really could have used it, the cry room was in, it was near the altar, but just off to the side.
Oh no.
And we would sit kind of close and I could just.
That's bananas.
I could just see, honestly, I would usually see, like, my mom never let us go in there. She was like, she was anti-cry room. She was like, we're going to sit here. And even if it was me and my like 2-year-old brother, she was like, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're sitting through this thing. And I would see my like classmates having the best time in there. Like there were snacks and toys and like they're walking on the pews. And then I would just like had to hold it all together.
That's wild that they put that forward for everybody to see. I feel like that's something you're hiding
right
in the back.
There.
Yeah. No, that was definitely like a tension with my like family for a while, because my dad was very much like these kids will be sitting in church. You can sit for an hour. I don't care if you're one or 12, like you better sit there for an hour. And I think it was like at times when it was my mom was like, my dad had to work or something on a Sunday morning, like, and it was just my mom. Like then sometimes it's her and 4 kids. It would be like a little different situation, but then he would come back and we'd be like, well, we should go to the, and then that was like a whole back and forth about like what we're gonna do. But the one at the second church we went to, it was like in the back, but like upstairs. So also you could see over everybody and like look down on everybody too, which was like also kind of fun, because then you could just be like up against the glass, like, like watching.
That sounds great.
Just like fingerprints and like smears like all over the glass.
I've never heard of any other type of church having a cry room or box other than the Catholics.
Yeah, because that's because they're just drowning them out over the sound of the music.
That's true.
They're rocking on.
So hard.
Some places have a place for kids to go. They just remove them.
Yeah.
They go to like kid mass.
Go to like kid church, or they go do something else during church.
We had that a couple times where they're every once in a while. And like my grandma's church, when we would be at mass and like when we visit my grandparents, they would take us like back to behind the altar. And like there would be like a Sunday school CCD teacher like doing like the kids mass. But I was always like, why doesn't CCD happen at the same time as church? Like, why do we have to do
why?
It should have. But I guess it's once you make your first communion, it's because you like are, you know, you're in like sin territory if you did not go to mass and get communion on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think that's why the Catholics can't do that.
Yeah.
They have to stagger it, because like other denominations will have it at the same time.
Gotta get that Eucharist.
Gotta get it.
Otherwise you're in, I don't know, in some trouble.
I think I went for Christmas with my mother-in-law and stuff, and there was all these kids like color, like there wasn't a cry area, but there was like so many kids with like stuff to do, and like someone had Legos or whatever, and I was just like, you guys are getting out of here so easily. Like, turn around and watch. Like, I don't know what you think you're doing entertaining yourself.
Yeah.
Like Catholic, it's pretty light in there these days.
Yeah, and I think for kids in mass to find their own ways to entertain themselves. Like, you got to have an imagination. You got to play games.
Right?
With, like, mm-hmm. just what you have in front of you, which is literally, like, books. And sometimes we would have, like, this was like when I got a little bit older and like we didn't really have like coloring sheets anymore in like CCD, but my siblings younger had like CCD coloring books and stuff. And so then I would be trying to like steal those in the middle and like do something. And then my mom would be like, stop, like you're 10, like let like, you can. And I'm like, I'm so bored.
What color am I going to make the stigmata today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some gruesome coloring sheets sometimes.
Yeah.
They're so bad.
God.
Yeah, like coloring in the Stations of the Cross, and it's like, oh no, this is dark.
This is real rough. Just torture.
So weird. I can't. I mean, it is so funny to think about. And also, as a parent, like I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I can't. Like, there is. What I think it is different now. Also, I have friends who are raising their kids Catholic, and like I think it works for lots of people. For me, I could never. Yeah, like subject my kids to a lot of it, to like going into a box and saying your sins, to just like imagery of somebody being tortured by the state, like it really didn't fully hit me till I had my own kids and I started to be like, oh, this is really messed up.
Yeah,
I mean, I survived it, clearly.
I think it does help you develop a kind of sense of humor. I don't know if you found that,
I think
that,
you're right.
Nico.
That's for true. Sure, for sure, for sure. Because, like,
what else you got?
Yeah.
I also feel like one of the first, like, places I was, like, looking to be funny was I was trying to make my mom or dad laugh in church by, like, saying little comments to them.
Oh, nice.
And so, like, oh, yeah. I feel like I was, like, often, like, messing around in that way. And, like, that was because it was, like, such a, you're obviously not supposed to joke in there at all. But there was obviously always something, the priests are old and funny and, like, there's always something to be laughing about, something happening in church. But yeah, like, I feel like, I mean, I don't have kids, but I just thinking about, like, myself as a child, and, like, I work with kids, and thinking about the way that they, how they're so little, and, like, thinking about me at that age, now seeing them, I'm like, that's so wild that at that age I was already, yeah, being asked to, like, sit in a box in front of somebody who I thought was, like, you know, a leader in the community, and, like, you know, and have to be like, I, you know, lied to my parents and I did this, and feeling so, like, nervous and ashamed of myself. It's unfortunate because I think the practice of forgiving yourself and, like, coming to terms mm-hmm. with, like, mm-hmm. imperfection and being like, it's okay, is a really wonderful thing. But the way that the mm-hmm. Catholic Church frames it and takes it is just like, no, we just took the bad part where we're shaming ourselves and not just, and like a 5 Hail Marys and then you're done. It's like, I didn't even really engage with what I did wrong.
Right?
Yeah. 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 And that we were talking to, like, some old man who by definition does not have children. So right? If, like, there any man doesn't know how to talk to a child, it's this guy.
Yeah.
I feel like so many people's things they would want to talk about or issues or problems or whatever that they would want to talk to a priest about are, like, marital and, you know, about family and children. And it's like, and then this person is supposed to be the authority on this who is not allowed to engage in any of this.
Yes. Yep.
It's crazy.
This is something that comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. The design, there's a lot of design flaws in the system.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I do, you know, we were joking earlier, but, like, I do see if something's a vocation, the idea of, like, not having a family, you just, it frees you up mm-hmm. to be more available. And so I get that part. I'm like, well, that makes sense. But yeah, then you're going and how are you supposed to advise people?
Yeah.
Or even, and the stuff about, there's so many rules about sex and about fertility and all this weird stuff where it's like, you literally have no, like, these... Like, you probably don't even know how periods work, dude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, just, like, really basic stuff that Real. These people don't have to engage with.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're in charge of making the, not just advising, but, like, making the rules. Like, these yeah. rules are all made by, like, old celibate men.
Yeah. Which is a crazy way to be governed. Yeah.
Yeah. Really is.
Have you seen the shows Fleabag or The Sopranos?
Both.
Oh, cool.
I
yeah.
have seen Fleabag. Not much of I haven't watched all of The Sopranos, but Fleabag, absolutely. We're fans
yeah.
here.
Yeah. Because I was just going to say both shows have, like, really interesting priest characters that are, like, which I always enjoy because it's such a fun, like, reversal of that exact thing of, like, this yeah. person who actually mm-hmm. is really quite in touch and interesting and maybe actually, like, sort of what a priest should be rather than, like, what we often give. I know. I was like, the only people that are converting to Catholicism are people who saw Fleabag and didn't know that is not what's happening.
Didn't know.
Probably true. Yeah, he could charm anyone into being a Catholic.
Yeah.
Only
yeah,
Andrew yeah. Scott.
Then I'd be at Mass yesterday.
Yeah, I right? know, right? Mm-hmm. I have to, like, hold myself back from not texting you every Andrew Scott thing I see stuff.
Obsessed. Because... I just obsessed.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
He's Between so his good. Priest stuff and the Shakespeare, it's just kind of your vibe.
It's my Venn diagram. He hits it all.
All of it.
It's so good. And this, but I was actually thinking while you were talking about the priest in Sopranos, because he's like, the way the priest used to be, I feel like he knew everyone in that community, like mm-hmm. he knew which place to go to when, which nights for which dinners, like
yeah,
he was in
totally.
It. So, like, you tell that man anything in that confessional, like, that's a crazy kind of power to have when
yeah.
you're, like, in the community in people's houses. Like yeah. now it feels like the priest is not as entrenched, but it's probably because I'm not going to church. I don't know what their deal is, but it doesn't seem like they're in it the
yeah.
same way.
And it seems where that's probably, like, a lot of, like, the power of the Catholic Church, obviously the money as well, and, like, you know, getting involved with, like, royalty and all that stuff. But, like, it does feel like initially it was, like, now they've got so much information on people that are at their whim now. Yeah. Like, imagine if your therapist could also just, like, make rules and tell everybody if they wanted to, like, you know.
That's a great point. No, I haven't thought the degree to which priests are like, yeah, hold just all the gossip of the entire community. Because certainly the parishes I grew up in, that was like everybody knew everybody. We were all going to school together. We all lived in the same community. We were all going to church together. They had sports teams. So the like parents and kids were all together on the weekends. Everybody's married to everybody else's family. So yeah, that priest held a
knew everything.
He did. They must have. That's wild. I don't think I have it. I don't know how up until this point it hasn't fully occurred to me.
Yeah.
How messed up that particular part of it is.
Kind of crazy, yeah.
Because it's supposed to be, it's supposed to also be, well, some people do face to face. It's supposed to be that they don't know who it is, but I feel like oftentimes they probably kind of do.
Like, especially with small communities, if they already kind of know everybody, like they're going to probably recognize voice or like a situation.
Or figure it out, the context. Together,
yeah.
And then some people are just going for it and looking the priest in the eye, which, did you ever do that?
I don't think so. I don't think I did many confessionals in my day, but the ones I remember doing were with the weird little screen door blackout.
Anything could be happening on the other side. My dad became friends with our priest when I was in high school, and they would like run together, and he would show up at our house and like running. It was just. It's like, it was Father Bob. Like everything about it was just wrong.
Oh no, not Father Bob.
I know, like, I was like, you need to be like Father O'Hara or something. Yeah. Like, come on, Father Bob. Like, this. He was a great guy, but like, you gotta change the name.
At least Father Robert or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. But he was such a bot. I remember one time he was like the priest for the confessionals. And we were like, I was like before Easter, and my dad's like, we all have to go, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm not going. Are you kidding me? He comes to our house.
Yeah.
Like,
I've seen this man's legs in running shorts.
No. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
It's like, we will keep a night. He will go over. He can be our friend priest, but he will not be my confessional priest. Yeah, never that twain.
Absolutely not.
It's like. The weird thing of being a kid, it's like first, it's like seeing your teacher at the grocery store. And then further than that is seeing your priest in running shorts.
No one's prepared for that.
No.
No. No. It'll change you.
Yeah.
Well, Nico, I hope that maybe something comes out of this and you can formulate a joke. We'll be listening.
Yes, definitely. I'm telling you guys, I'm looking for my way into like some more Catholic material. So yes, definitely this will be on my mind. Absolutely.
I love it.
Great.
Boys Club is awesome. It's so fun.
Oh, thank you.
You and so Connor have such a nice repartee. We were listening to it in the car this morning. So it was just fun to see you in person after hearing you in the car.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's fun when people obviously enjoy each other's company. So
yeah, totally.
If you don't, you're doing a great acting.
No, he's the best. He's like, we're thick as thieves. So yeah, y'all should definitely have him on sometime too, because he's
I was like, if he's got any Catholic stories, that sounds great.
He definitely does. I mean, he is a gay man who went to an all-boy Catholic school where his dad still works. Please. So he is right up your alley. Yeah.
Great. Okay, right. We're reaching out.
All right. Yeah. After this, definitely as soon as we're done here,
I'll tell him to look out for it. Yeah.
Great.
Awesome.
And we like to end with our special collection. Do you have an organization you wanted to shout out for folks?
Yeah, the Trans Justice Fund Project is, they raise money to help like combat, some of this like horrible legislation we're seeing across the country right now. So they just help to get money to local organizers to start to fight those things on a local level and statewide. So definitely check it out. Trans Justice Fund Project.
Yes.
Great. And we will link that in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
In our social media.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Nico, it was really great having you on. Thanks so much for coming and chatting.
Yeah, this was so fun. Thanks for having me. I really had a great time.
All right. Steph, you want to kick us?
Did I get to say it?
You do. I feel like I always
never get to say it.
You get to say it first. All right.
All right, ahead. Nico and Anne, also with you.
Also with you, Steph.
Yeah.
Also with you. I love that.
There we go. Yeah.
For our listeners, if you want to check out Nico's comedy, which I highly suggest you do, you can go to his website, nicocarney.com. That's N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. Also, his podcast, Boys Club Comedy, and on Instagram, @Nico Carney, and also @Boys Club Comedy.